You're listening to A Prissity by Millie Wilcox, Chapter 29, Hostile Vibes. When Chris went to put Amara down for a nap, Stephanie called all of her closest family members to invite them to the wedding. She was regretting not doing it Chris's way and just texting them all because she had to explain over and over again how she met Chris and how long they'd been dating. It was emotionally draining, and she was glad when she realized she had an excuse to get off the phone with her Aunt Patty. "Oh, shoot, I just realized what time it is. I should really get going on dinner," she apologized. Chris had been done putting Amara down for a nap for quite some time now, and he sat on the couch looking at his phone and patiently waiting for Stephanie to be done talking. Stephanie said, "I forgot I have to actually make a presentable dinner and not just mac and cheese tonight."
"I like your mac and cheese,"
Chris said. "Yeah, but it's not a meal," Stephanie insisted.
"I can help you cook,"
Chris offered. "Okay, you get to be head chef and I'll be sous chef."
"You be head chef. I'm sure you don't like being told what to do,"
Chris accused. "What? I can be told what to do," Stephanie said defensively.
"Sure,"
Chris said, unbelieving. Stephanie was going to prove to Chris that she could handle being told what to do, but it turned out he was right. She kept correcting everything he did. "You don't have to cut the potatoes so small, just quarter them. You have to cook the broccoli longer or the kids aren't going to eat it. No, don't season it, just butter and salt. Here, this pan is better for gravy." Chris kept rolling his eyes and then doing it Stephanie's way. He started to make the gravy while Stephanie mashed the potatoes with the immersion blender.
"If you blend the potatoes, it makes them sticky,"
Chris instructed. "What do you mean it makes them sticky?" Stephanie asked.
"I mean it makes them sticky. It breaks up the starches."
"If I don't blend them, then they will have lumps."
"It's fine if they have lumps. You get fluffier mashed potatoes."
"Lumpier potatoes are not fluffier," Stephanie pointed out.
"You know what? That damage is done. It doesn't matter anymore,"
Chris grumbled. He had been melting butter on the stove for gravy and dumped a cup of flour into it. "Don't you mix it with water first?" Stephanie asked. "It's going to turn out lumpy. You have to mix it with a little bit of water and then add it."
"No, you have to make a roux first,"
Chris corrected her. "What's a roux?" Stephanie asked. Chris just kept stirring in the flour. "Now when you add the stock, it's going to get lumpy," Stephanie said, annoyed.
"No, it won't as long as you pour it in slowly and keep mixing it,"
Chris taught. Stephanie scowled at him.
"Trust the process,"
Chris reassured her. "Fine, but you should probably take it off the heat when you do it." Chris ignored her and started pouring the stock into the roux, rapidly whisking it. "You're going to scratch the pan," Stephanie whined.
"You told me to use this pan,"
Chris glared at her. "That's because I thought you knew the right way to make gravy."
"This is the right way to make gravy,"
Chris growled.
"Hurry, grab me a pan that doesn't have the stupid nonstick coating on it."
Stephanie pulled out the pan Chris was originally going to use and sat it on the stove. He quickly poured the lumpy mess into it. "See, I told you it was going to be lumpy," Stephanie criticized.
"That's seriously because of your pan, not the method,"
he said angrily as he whisked it vigorously.
"If I didn't have to worry about scratching the pan, then it wouldn't have gone lumpy in the first place."
Stephanie stood and watched for a moment, but she was too bothered that the gravy was not going to turn out because Chris had refused to do it her way, that she had to leave the room. "Ugh, you are making me crazy," she huffed as she stormed out of the kitchen. Jason didn't give a heck how to make gravy. She growled out loud to herself as she thought about it. Ugh. Charlotte and Emery were sitting in the living room.
"Are you and Chris fighting?"
Emery asked. "I guess we are," Stephanie huffed.
"Does that mean you're not going to marry him?"
"No, Emery. People don't break up over how to make gravy." She still looked worried. "It's fine. Everyone fights sometimes. The important part is that we keep trying to work through things," Stephanie reassured. Chris came out of the kitchen. He gave Stephanie a forced smile.
"I think I got most of the lumps out. It would have turned out great if it hadn't been for the pan,"
he grumbled. "And if you had made it my way, it wouldn't be all over your shirt," Stephanie snapped. Chris looked down at his shirt. It had grease splatters all down the front of it.
"Ugh,"
he grumbled. "Go change. I'll put some stain remover on it," Stephanie said, feeling a little sorry for him. Chris went into Stephanie's room and shut the door. A moment later, the doorbell rang. Stephanie wished that Chris had not been in her bedroom. She hesitated to open the door until Chris came out, but Levi shouted,
"Grandma and Grandpa are here!"
and quickly pulled the door open. Lauren hugged Stephanie and each of the kids. Fred, who was usually quiet and less affectionate, didn't really say or do anything.
Where is this guy of yours?
Lauren asked. Oh, he had to go change his shirt. I'm sure he'll be out in a bit. Have a seat. They all sat on the couch. Stephanie wondered if Chris would climb out the window and bail on them, but a moment later he came out of the bedroom. He had put on one of his work shirts and looked really nice. He also looked incredibly uncomfortable, and Stephanie guessed that having to walk out of her bedroom with Jason's parents sitting right there did not help the situation. Stephanie stood up and went to stand next to him. This is Chris, she said uncomfortably. She wasn't sure if she should hold his hand or put her hand on his back or what, so instead she just awkwardly held her hands out to present him.
Nice to meet you,
Lauren said. Fred didn't say anything. Stephanie walked back over and sat on the couch. Chris followed her and sat by her. Chris put his hand on Stephanie's knee. Then he noticed Fred glaring at him and quickly removed it.
So you two are...
Lauren started. Stephanie didn't offer to finish her sentence for her, so Lauren finished it.
Dating?
Sort of. We actually are engaged, Stephanie said. Lauren looked at her perplexed as Levi started to excitedly tell them about how Chris had proposed.
Levi, you don't need to shout, Stephanie reminded him. Levi thought it was great how Chris had pretended to pull the wedding ring out of Stephanie's ear, but Lauren and Fred did not look amused. The rest of the evening was just as uncomfortable. Although Lauren was polite and Fred was quiet, there were hostile vibes coming from both of them. It was strange that Lauren had seemed so supportive on the phone, but now seemed uncomfortable about the situation. Stephanie guessed it was because meeting Chris in person just made it more real. They called all the kids in and ate dinner. Chris's gravy was actually really good. After dinner, Amara and Matthew played in the living room while the other kids went back outside.
We'd better get back on the road,
Lauren said. Stephanie was relieved. She walked Lauren and Fred to the door. Chris came and stood next to her.
You should come to the wedding,
Chris said bluntly.
Of course,
Lauren said, sounding offended that he would make it sound like it wasn't a given that they would be there.
Send us an invitation. We won't miss it.
Chris looked at Stephanie to pick up the pieces. Oh, well, we didn't really have invitations made, Stephanie said hesitantly. I can send you the address. It's Friday at 6:30. Lauren looked shocked.
Why didn't you tell us sooner? Our trip goes through Saturday.
She seemed incredibly offended that they had not consulted with them about when to have their wedding. It was kind of a last-minute thing. We didn't finalize the plans until today, Stephanie stammered. We understand if you can't make it.
Well, of course we are going to come. We will just have to cancel the last day of our trip,
Lauren fumed.
We already paid for the cabin, so we are going to have to count it as a sunk cost.
I'm really sorry, Stephanie apologized, but she didn't feel like she should have to apologize. It wasn't about them. It had very little to do with them. They almost didn't even get invited. Stephanie could feel her cheeks getting hot. She willed herself not to cry as she thought about the similarities between Jason and his mom. Stephanie could imagine Jason's irritation as she looked at Lauren. The thought of Jason being mad that he was not invited to the wedding was absurd, but she could still see him in her mind's eye. Mad as heck, saying, "Of course I'm going to be there. I will just have to cancel my plans."
It's fine,
Lauren scowled, pulling Stephanie from her unpleasant daydream about Jason. Then they stood there uncomfortably looking at each other. Stephanie trying not to cry, Lauren fuming, Chris looking as miserable as ever, and Fred silently glaring. Chris put his hand out to shake Fred's.
It was nice to meet you.
Fred just looked at Chris's hand. Chris nodded his head knowingly and put his hands in his pockets. He looked at Stephanie. It was up to her to finish up the conversation and put an end to everyone's discomfort, so she swallowed the lump in her throat. We'll see you Friday, she choked. Lauren pursed her lips and gave a short nod, then turned to leave. Fred followed, and Stephanie shut the door behind them. As she did, she broke down. She turned around. There was Chris. He was there to receive her into his arms. Finally, in her moment of deep pain and desperation, she was not alone. He was there. He took a step toward her and put his arms around her. Stephanie's heart ached so much. I can't do this anymore, she sobbed.
You don't want to get married anymore?
Chris asked quietly, sounding devastated. No, I do, Stephanie wept. I can't hurt like this anymore. It's too much. It's just too much. Chris hugged her tighter and Stephanie sobbed into his shoulder. It felt really nice to have him hold her. She didn't know it was possible to feel so much pain and so much comfort at the same time.
She wasn't sure how long she'd been crying when Emery and Levi walked into the room. Emery came over and hugged Stephanie around her back. Then Levi walked over and put his arms around both Stephanie and Chris and hugged tight. Stephanie grunted as Levi squished all the air out of her. "That's enough, Levi," she said in a squished voice as she laugh-cried. Chris laughed and let go of Stephanie as Levi released his grasp. Then Emery came around and hugged Stephanie from the front. "You were right. We should not have invited them," Stephanie sniffled as she wiped the tears from her face.
"No, you were right. They need to be a part of it. It's just too bad that now I have to invite Jody and Mark,"
Chris grumbled. "I'm sorry," Stephanie said.
"I'm the one who invited them,"
Chris admitted. "Maybe we should have eloped." Stephanie leaned into Chris from the side and he put his arm around her. Emery was still hanging on her front. Amara was starting to get fussy. She walked over and hung on Chris's leg, so he let go of Stephanie to pick her up.
"You look like you're ready for bed,"
Chris said to Amara.
"Mom,"
Emery said,
"I thought you said Amara could move into my room."
"I did say that." Stephanie looked at Chris. "What do you think?" Chris shrugged.
"Probably won't do to have her stay in your room forever."
So Stephanie moved the portable crib into Emery's room, and then Chris rocked Amara to sleep and put her to bed in her new room. "You'll have to be really quiet when you come in and go to bed," Stephanie reminded Emery. After they had scriptures and prayer, and the kids had brushed their teeth and been sung to, Chris and Stephanie sat down on the couch. Charlotte and Trey were playing a card game at the kitchen table in the next room. Stephanie replayed the events of the evening in her head. As she pictured Lauren's angry face, she saw Jason in her mind's eye again, mad that he had not been told the plans for the wedding. She tried to push the image out of her mind, but her heartache kept bringing it back. "I deserved the way Lauren and Fred were acting," Stephanie muttered as she thought of how she was betraying Jason.
"What do you mean?"
Chris asked softly. "I'm just so terrible for forgetting Jason and moving on. I feel like such a horrible person." Stephanie began to cry again.
"What does that make me?"
Chris asked. Stephanie looked at him like she was just realizing it was part of the conversation. Tears ran down her face, and Chris waited for her to answer. A terrible person, I guess," she laugh-cried.
"Do you really believe that?"
he asked quietly. Stephanie shook her head. She didn't believe it, but she couldn't help feeling it. Stephanie laid her head on Chris's shoulder. He did not tell her to stop, so she put her arm around him and cuddled into him as she cried. They sat there for a long time. When Stephanie calmed down, she said, "Sorry for crying all over your shirt." Chris looked down at his shirt.
"It's fine,"
he said genuinely. Stephanie gave him a weak smile. "And sorry about being a terrible sous chef." Chris smiled.
"Sorry that the way I make gravy drives you crazy."
"I'll forgive you as long as you admit that my way is just better," she smiled at him.
"It's not,"
he said incredulously. "Is so," Stephanie argued as if she was 5 years old.
"Let's just agree to disagree,"
he said. "Well, it is," Stephanie grumbled under her breath. "My way wouldn't have gotten butter all over your shirt." Chris chuckled.
"You have to have the last word?"
"No, I just know I'm right, that's all."
"Fine, when you make gravy, you make it your way, and when I make it, I'll do it my way, and I'll use the right pan to begin with."
"So you admit mine is better," she teased.
"No,"
he said plainly. Stephanie sighed. "It took Jason and I a long time to figure some things out. It's frustrating starting over after 15 years, having to learn how to fight and get along all over again."
"Hey, I was married for 14 years. I'm not completely untrained,"
Chris defended. "True, but we've been working through different curriculum," Stephanie pointed out.
"Well, then we'll just have more knowledge to pull from collectively."
Stephanie nodded. "My gravy's still better than yours," she teased. Chris tickled Stephanie's side. She squealed and grabbed his fingers hard. "Don't tickle me," she growled through clenched teeth as she gave Chris a death stare.
"Okay, so you don't like to be tickled. I'll remember that. See, I'm a fast learner."
Chris stared into Stephanie's eyes. He leaned in and kissed her. Right on cue, Charlotte and Trey walked into the room.
"Gross,"
Charlotte complained. They stopped kissing, but Stephanie put her head back down on Chris's shoulder. Charlotte looked like she wasn't sure how to respond, but Trey casually walked over and sat on the couch across from them. He looked like he was not as uncomfortable about having to supervise them as he had been before, So Charlotte followed Trey's lead and walked over and sat across from them too, still looking unsure. Chris looked at his watch. I don't want you to leave, Stephanie said quietly.
I have to,
Chris whispered in her ear. I know, but I don't want you to, she replied. He gave her one more quick kiss and then got up to head out the door.